1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 19. Hear now the word of our Lord. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is the word of God for the people of God today. Thanks be to God. Once more, happy Mother's Day. Today is a day that I think is very important, and it's one that I'm glad that we celebrate in this culture that's not celebrated in every culture. It's a day set aside to thank God for the gift of our moms. I know many moms over the years probably have felt like they're not always greatly appreciated for all that they do for us. But this is one day each year that we set aside to show them how much they're appreciated. So for those of you in the room whose mothers are here, I hope you will do everything you can to make your mom's life easy today. That is your job as their sons and daughters. So if you're here with your mom, make her feel loved today. If your mom's not here, but she's still alive, find a way to reach out to her and make sure she feels loved. And for those of you who are moms, I hope you all feel loved today. We give thanks to God for the gift of moms, but also for the other godly women who he has placed in our lives. I know that mothers have a very special place in our lives, and God gives us a very special connection to our moms who we don't have with anybody else. There was an interesting study that I came across not that long ago, and I had never thought about it before, but ever since I read that study, I found it to be true most of the time. But there was actually a study that showed hearing your mother's voice can actually lower stress. You believe that? Most of the time. You know, assuming they're not mad and yelling at you. But that never happens, does it? But hearing your mother's voice can actually have an instant effect in lowering your stress. And I know when I'm having a really stressful day, if I have the chance to talk to my mom on the phone, even for a little bit, I pretty much always feel better. We have a special connection with the women who not only cared for us and raised us, but who carried us inside their wombs. That is a bond which cannot be matched by anything else. But that being said, I know that there are people who don't always have a good relationship with their biological moms. Some people, either they had a poor relationship or no relationship whatsoever with their biological moms. And for them, hearing their biological mom's voice may not lower stress. But thanks be to God for the other wonderful, wonderful women who he has placed in our lives who have kind of adopted us as their own. We know people that whether they can't have any kids of their own or just have too much love to keep to themselves, they adopt many kids. And they're often closer to those kids than the kids' actual biological mothers. And we ought to praise God just as much for the adoptive moms, the foster moms, the aunts, the grandmas, those who give just as much of themselves to those kids who they love, even if those kids happen to be 50. And I think that it was part of God's great mercy that He put these women in our lives. For the ladies, your moms helped you in ways that I will never understand, that I can't understand. There are connections between mothers and daughters that can do so many things. Most of them good. Sometimes it just means when they fight, they really fight. But I know that that bond is special because I've seen it between my sister and our mom, between my mom and her mom, and between other mothers and daughters who I've known. And for us boys, our moms are real good at letting us know when we've been complete and total knockheads. When we've just been dumb. And they love us anyway. And if it weren't for our moms, many of us boys would have gotten in a lot more trouble. Am I right? Our moms keep us on track. Sometimes, even if it means they have to be the bad guy. But still, we know that they are there and they love us. And I would actually make an argument that the more motherly figures, be them biological moms, adopted moms, aunts, grandmas, whoever they are, the more motherly figures we have in our lives, the more we are blessed. I believe that. As I've already implied, the special connection with moms is one that goes way beyond genetics. I believe in the relationship that God forms between mothers and their kids, whether those kids be biological or not, is one that is formed to remind us of the kind of love that God has for us. It's born out of the unfailing love that God places in their hearts for their children. A love so great that it can only be compared to the love that our Heavenly Father has for us. Our passage, our New Testament passage this morning speaks of the love of our Heavenly Father, that He sent His Son to die on the cross for us. We are told that God is love. We can recognize God through that love. As we look at all of the references in throughout the Bible, and in particular the New Testament, talking about the love of God, we get a picture of this unfailing love that He has for us. We have that famous love chapter in 1 Corinthians that is often used at weddings, and it's good there. You hope that kind of love develops between spouses. But the love that is being talked about there is more than just the passionate love between two young lovers. It is more than that love that you have for a close friend or brother. It is that unfailing love that no matter what, no matter how mad they might be at you, they still love you. I'm going to ask all the moms in the room, if you're being completely honest with yourself, has there been a time that you were so frustrated and angry with your kids that you just wanted to throttle them? But did you still love them? Absolutely. And sometimes that love is part of why you're so angry. because you would hope that they would know better. Because you don't want anything bad to happen to them. And we see throughout the Bible times in which the anger and wrath of God is mentioned. And especially in the Old Testament, we see points of the Old Testament history in which it seems like God is just that vengeful God raining down fire and brimstone from heaven. And it's hard to understand how you can compare this angry God from the Old Testament with the loving God of the New Testament. But I don't think that those are mutually exclusive. God loves us so much. He wants to have a relationship with us. And it doesn't matter how mad we make him, he still loves us. We could curse his name 1,000 times and he would still love us. And moms, sometimes you have to discipline your kids, right? Sometimes you have to discipline your kids. And hopefully that discipline is in proportion to how badly they messed up. Well, think of how badly we mess up in the eyes of God. Suddenly, some of the things you see in the Old Testament seem to be him restraining himself. You look at the nation of Israel throughout the book of Judges, the book of the books of 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, and you see all the times that the people of Israel turned against God. They worshipped other gods. They broke his law. And he said, people, stop it. Turn back to me, and you will be forgiven. And all the way up until the very last king of both nations, the northern nation and the southern nation, all the way up until the very last king, God sent prophets saying, if you would only repent, you can still be saved. Even as the conquering armies of Assyria and Babylon were marching on the lands of Israel and Judah, God said, if only you will repent now, even now that they're on your doorstep, I will rescue you. Now, would an angry, vengeful God take that approach? Would he offer that many chances before finally raining down the punishment that they had brought upon themselves? I don't think so. The same God who punished his children in the Old Testament is the God who sent his son to die on the cross so that we might never have to be punished again. That is love. It is a love that is greater than any we can ever understand. Love is what defines God. Dr. Steve Siemens, who's a professor emeritus at the seminary, he was actually my dad's basic Christian doctrine professor. And he's still there teaching classes every now and then. He only teaches what he wants now. Benefits of being retired, he gets to pick and choose what he teaches. But in his book, Ministry in the Image of God, he said that it was out of the overflow of God's love that he had. It was out of the overflow of God's love that he created the heavens and the earth and that he created us. We are a product of his love. It is out of his love for us that he desires to have a relationship with us and that he gives us free will. And even when we use that free will against him, he still loves us. He sent his son to die on the cross because of his love. And Jesus, being God himself, loved us enough that he didn't fight the soldiers. He didn't call down angels from heaven to save him. He willingly died on the cross because he loved us. But yet, even in those last moments as he hung on the cross, you know what he did? He made sure his mom was taken care of. He loved us enough to die, but he didn't want his mom to suffer because of it. And once again, he shows his love that in the last moments before Jesus gave up his spirit, we see his love for his mother is never ending. In John chapter 19, that love that Mary had for her son drove her all the way to the foot of the cross. Moms, could you imagine standing there and watching your son or daughter beaten and tortured and nailed to a cross, and then stand there and watch as they slowly suffocate? But she did it. She couldn't be anywhere else. She loved him too much. And when he looked down upon her, he said, I'm going to make sure that no matter what happens to me, she's taken care of. Because I love her. So he called to his friend John, said, John, I want you to take care of my mom. She will show you just as much love as she has shown me. Jesus knew the plan that his father had for him, that he would be raised from the dead. He also knew that in the years to come, his own half-brothers, Mary's other sons, would give their lives in faith for him. That because of what he was doing there on the cross, Mary, who had already lost her husband, was going to lose all of her sons. So he made sure she had a foster son who would take care of her until her dying day. We see the unfailing love that God has for us, the unfailing love that Jesus had for Mary. And we see the unfailing love of a mother in Mary herself. We see this love displayed by many great women of faith throughout the Bible. We see it in the love and faith of Moses' mother, who was not willing to let him die. But when she knew that she could no longer take care of him, she was willing to give him up so that he would have a chance to live. There's a Christian singer named Mark Schultz. And he has a song titled Everything to Me, I think is the name of it. And in the song, he talks about his biological mom giving him up for adoption. And he assures her that when she gave him up, she gave everything to him. That in the act of acknowledging that she was not able to provide a life for him and giving him up, she showed the greatest love she ever could because she gave him everything. Gave him the life that he had. We see it in Hannah, who after finally being given her lifelong wish of motherhood, gives her son back to the Lord because she knows that ultimately he belongs to him. And we see it in Naomi, who out of her unselfish love could not bear the thought of her daughter-in-laws living in widowhood for the rest of their lives. And so even if it meant that she had to return home alone, she urged both of her daughter-in-laws to leave her. Said, go home. I can't give you anything. even though it meant that she would be alone, she loved her daughter-in-laws enough to let them go. Now, of course, Ruth's love was greater. Ruth stayed with her, and then we know that she became a loving mother herself. And there are many other examples. A mother's love is a special thing. And whether we're referring to our biological mothers, the women who raised us, or simply those special women who God has placed in our lives as godly examples of who we are supposed to be, the love of a mother is one of the greatest blessings which God can give to us. So as we celebrate today, let us remember to thank God that He gave us moms, both biological and spiritual, to show us a picture of the love that He has for us. Happy Mother's Day. And thank you all, ladies, for showing your love to the many children in your lives.